morning to you all, and greetings in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Trust you all had a good week, and indeed good to be in the presence of God and being refreshed this morning by the promises of God, being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the names which we could not even deserve as we pray. How about we turn to Book of Acts, chapter 11 and verse 19. It's okay, right? No, it's fine. If you turn to verse 19 onwards, I shall read it for you. Book of Acts, chapter 11 and verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Syrian, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, and he should go as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the church. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophet from Jerusalem, from Antioch, and they stood up, one of them named Agabus, and signaled by the Spirit that they should be great dirt throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Most loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this blessed morning you've given to us. Thank you for the precious word, which is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Pray for every brother and sister here, every soul which hear thy word, may be refreshed, may be encouraged for your calling, for the holy calling you called us. In your heart church, your Father, for the great calling. We pray for also, Lord, for your word upon the servant that helped me to divide thy word and thy authority in in clarity, and ask your mercy and grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If you remember, just a few weeks ago, we were looking at Book of Acts on the chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord had given a promise to the church. If you remember the promise the Lord gave in verse 8, it says like this: But ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth. We learned how the Lord empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God in the church. And now as we look into chapter 19, we read the first verse, Acts chapter 11, verse 19. We read about persecution, right? Lord had a heart that they would continue out of Jerusalem. Not only the gospel was not just for Jerusalem in Israel, as when this morning we read, it was for the ends of the earth. But the church still continued to be across Jerusalem until persecution. What happened when the persecution started? If I just go to this map, the gist, as we read a few verses, in the first verse, we read they moved to Cyprus, as you see Cyprus just here, and they moved to Antioch, and they moved to all these towns. So what happened is people started to move out of Jerusalem. If you remember, the first man who was martyred, first believer was Stephen, we know about in Acts chapter 6. We know Herod, by the sword, killed James, the brother of John. We know there's fear in the church. There's fear among the believers that Paul, who's called Saul, he's gone to Damascus to persecute and take the people out of the house. And there's so much persecution. But one good thing happened from the persecution is the church grew stronger and stronger and stronger. So we read about the town named Antioch. This morning, we'd like to look at this particular word, as Brother George was mentioning from verse 26, the very first time the believers were called Christians was in the place called Antioch, where there were Gentiles, there were Greeks, there were Jews. They all came one for one calling. They had known the Savior who had called them to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now as we come, I'd like to this morning look at one great man of God, an unsung hero who encouraged two great men, and his name was Barnabas. Barnabas, as we read, Luke wrote the book of Acts. He introduced him like this. If you turn to book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, we read about Barnabas' introduction. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought to the things which he possessed as his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostle witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had a need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a son of encouragement, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it and bought it with the price, with the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. We're looking at a glimpse of a glorious church. Our brothers and sisters, 2,000 years ago, as we speak, and you look at their hearts, they were one heart. They had one mind. God's heart was, we will all be one in Him. There was nothing uncommon with them. If anybody had a need, the need would have been met. We saw the people sold their houses, and one of them was Barnabas. Where was he from? Where did we hear from? He was from Cyprus, wasn't he? So you see, he's from this town called Cyprus. And what tribe was he from? He was a Levite. This morning we heard only the Levites could go to the house of God. He was a Levite. And Levites did not have properties in Old Testament, as you know. But he was from Cyprus. The time we're talking about, after many thousands of years from Levite, he's lived in Cyprus. His parents came from Cyprus. And he had a property of his own. He was a rich man. But one thing had happened in his life was he had found the Lord Jesus Christ. He's probably heard the message of Stephen, who was told, Lord is not building a church made with hands. Lord is building a temple of the living God, and we are the temple of God. His vision was to reach out verse 1:8, as we read, to reach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we will look in the coming few minutes how this man invests everything of his life. He not only came to know what Jesus has done, he invested his whole life for the gospel. He lived in Cyprus. From Cyprus, he came to Jerusalem. There was something we do not know why the disciples called him. He's a son of encouragement. What was his name? Some of your versions say Joseph, or Joseph was his actual name. But he became an encouragement. By the time we are reading Acts chapter 4, the account we read, he's already been given this name. He's a man who encourages a brother and a sister. And he's already bought for the church all that he had. Now as we look at Barnabas, he was a very generous man, wasn't he? He was a gracious man. He was a generous man of a character. And one of the things Barnabas had was he wanted to encourage a new believer. You see that throughout his life. If you see Luke was writing this gospel, this part of the book of letters, for Theophilus was one of the characters, you know. When he addressed the first chapter of Luke, he said, "Former account of Theophilus." We all have a soul which we've been ministering, isn't it? God has given sometimes to minister to each one. It may be in here, it may be in India, it may be in different countries. But praise God for the burden God gives. Praise God for somebody who ministered to me when I was a young believer. And Barnabas sees a man called Saul. Imagine what's happening. I'm sure everyone here knows about the story of Saul, transformation on the way of Damascus. And Damascus is just around here. And he was how he came to know Lord Jesus. He was a special calling. He saw the vision of Jesus Christ. He was blind and he was restored. What did Saul do? The word of God says, as soon as he heard the word of God, he came to know Jesus, he started preaching in Damascus. But when persecution came, he was out of Damascus for 3 years in Arabia. 3 years in Arabia. And he comes back and he wants to meet the disciples. He wants to meet Peter, James, and he wants to get back. He wants to fellowship with them. But the story they have heard about Saul is very fearful. He's a persecutor. He can harm people. So initially, I think Peter and James would have thought, we should not take the risk of meeting Saul. It's not worth it. James is already killed. Stephen is already killed. But what Saul, Barnabas does is, he goes and looks for him. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, please turn to Acts chapter 9. And verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Just put yourself going to a man who can kill you as well. He was a risk taker. And he believed God can change anyone. Barnabas believed God can change a sinner like Saul. And Barnabas believed Saul had fully converted. So he brings Saul, he encourages, he becomes a bridge between the disciples and Saul. At that time, he's still named as Saul. Without Barnabas, we do not know how long it would have taken for Saul to meet the disciples. Now, as we come back to Acts chapter 11, as we just read, now what's happening is, as the people left to Antioch and other places, Cyprus and Phoenicia over here, there other people came and preached the gospel at Antioch. There are a few new brothers and sisters are gathered, and the church has been, there's nobody to look after them though. And what happens, we read in Acts chapter 11, that Jerusalem heard there are many brothers and sisters in a place called Antioch. So what do they do? They send Barnabas. They send Barnabas to the place called Antioch. We read that in verse 23 of Acts chapter 11, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Just note these two verses. What was Barnabas like? He was a good man. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He would have been preaching the word of God by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. And most importantly, many were added to the church. We do not know how many, when Peter preached, there were 3,000 added. There were 5,000 added. We do not know how many numbers. It could be hundreds or thousands, but the church is growing. What does Barnabas need to do? He needs somebody with him. What does he do? We read. What happens to Paul with Saul is from Jerusalem, he goes to Tarsus. Saul is living in Tarsus. It's believed about 36 AD, Saul has been converted. He goes to Damascus for 3 years. And this story we are talking about is around close to 45 AD. About 6 or 7 years, Tarsus, Saul is, we do not have much account about Saul, what happened there. But we know Saul conversion, transformation to the glorious thing. God has given him a special promise for Saul that he's been chosen to be a light to the Gentiles. So Barnabas goes to Tarsus, we read in Acts chapter 11. Again, he looks for Saul. He brings Saul back from Tarsus back to Antioch. How long were they in Antioch for? Saul and Barnabas, we read? 1 year. We have an account. They both were here for 1 year, 12 months. They labored for the word. They labored and they served, and the church grew stronger and stronger. And Antioch became, there are three things in this particular chapter. For the first time, we hear the word called church. The church, what Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew's gospel. We read this in verse 22, the word church in a place called Antioch. Church means called out people. We are all being called out. We all been reminded to get this morning of our past. We were all strangers. We all been called out. There were Jews, there were Greeks, there were different nations. They were all with one heart and with unity. They were worshiping God. And we read about Christians for the first time in a place called Antioch. And the other thing we read in the last verse, which I read this morning, from verse 30, who are the elders of Antioch? Barnabas and Saul. We see in the very first church, the plurality of elders with an S, plural. They always were, leaders were to be having two people, because it is always good to have two, because one fall, the other could raise. So we're looking at a bit of a scenario of how church at Antioch started. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 13, book of Acts chapter 13, you see the church at Antioch has grown, and you see five leaders at the church named in the verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, and Menahem, which has been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and so. How about we read from verse 2 to verse 14? I shall read verse 2, and shall we all read this verse, vice versa? And as we read this chapter, verse from verse 1 to verse 14, please keep an eye and try to remember the places. This is the first mission Paul and Barnabas are going to from this church. So I'll read verse 2 and we shall read verse 3, vice versa. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 3. And then fasted and prayed. So they being sent forth of the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. But Elmas, the sorcerer, so is the name by interpretation, which stood them seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Saul was about filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, "O full of the subtlety and all mischief, thou child of devil, unto enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Immediately they fell on him in the midst of darkness, and he went about seeking some of the leaf by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And came to Perga and Pelia, and John departing, and then returned to Jerusalem. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch, to Syria, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. We shall leave it there. Now just look at, as we have just had a brief introduction about Antioch, how church has grown, and how Saul and Barnabas are here. Now, what do? There are five brothers there who are prophets and teachers. They were not just satisfied with what is happening in the church, because the church, they grew stronger. But what was the Lord's vision? You shall reach to the ends of the earth. What is the Lord's vision today for the church? The gospel shall reach to the ends of the earth. They decided, they prayed and fasted. And the Lord revealed that they shall, two of them will continue to reach the gospel with a mission outside the Antioch to the ends of the world. Now, where is Antioch? Which country? It's in Syria, isn't it? We have the map here. It's in Syria. And now we see three countries as we speak in this small chapter. We have Israel, we have Syria, we have Cyprus, we have Turkey here, the Asia Minor in those days, it's called. And in the first mission, so we are reading about the first mission. And we do not know whether it was Barnabas' vision for Saul to go for mission. We do not know how they got this burden to go on the mission. We read there was somebody else in this mission. Who was it? Somebody else joined with Barnabas and Saul. John Mark. We read in verse 5, John was also ministering. If you turn to chapter 12, verse 25 of Acts, we see, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and they had fulfilled their ministry and took them John, whose surname was Mark." In Colossians 4:30, we read, this person called John Mark is nobody then. It's Barnabas' sister's son. Mark was his nephew. Barnabas has also been ministering to this young man, Mark. I do not know what made this young man to go in a young age in a mission. We do know in 1 Corinthians, we read, Barnabas and Paul were not married. They were single. They were totally dedicated to the Lord. So John Mark is with them. What was the first town they went? What did you remember? The first town. I think it's very easy. It's here, isn't it? Seleucia. I read briefly going through. It's about 16 miles from Antioch. And they preached the gospel. We're reading about 46 AD when this mission started, the end. 3 years mission, about 49 AD. 46 to 49 AD, what we just read, a half of the mission. It takes 2 days' journey to go to Cyprus. 2 days' journey. If you want to go to a camp in my house for a two-hour drive, we have a lot of preparation. Our car gets fooled and, you know, just imagine there's no proper, they're just going on a mission with few little things to serve and preach the Lord, the Word of God. 2 days. And this town, the next town we know is Salamis in Cyprus. This town is where I believe Barnabas came from. His parents were there. I believe it's not in a biblical account, this is where he will be martyred later in about 64 AD. Barnabas later says, we'll come back to it later. So he goes to Cyprus. Barnabas takes to his own country, Cyprus. And he spends there. And then they go to Paphos. Paphos at that time is the capital of Cyprus. We do know the word of God was open. They shared in a synagogue. What do they first do? They always go to synagogue. Always goes to the Jewish. They preach. Some get saved. And most of them would persecute them. And they were about to get killed. And most of the time they went, the Gentiles were more hunger than Jews. And the Gentiles were waiting for the next Lord's Day. They received them. You read it in time after time. The Gentiles received the gospel of God. So what is happening is the gospel is spreading from Jerusalem throughout the ends of the world. Then you read that from Paphos, a 200 miles of north, Paul, now you've got to see, as soon as Saul comes here, you see the word of God says his name is turning to Paul. Word of God gives account as current as it is. You read in verse 9, the Saul who is called Paul. I want you to note, when you began this journey, you read about Barnabas and Saul. You started this word as we read, Barnabas and Saul. Soon, the word of God will say, Paul and Barnabas. So about 200 miles as we go, Mark is still with them. But when they meet, go to Asia Minor towards Turkey, Mark decides he cannot continue. Mark says, I want to go back. And we do know Paul is very disappointed with Mark. You read about Acts chapter 15. Paul does not want to take him on the second mission. We do not know what happened to Mark, whether it was a very tough journey, traveling in the ship. He may be seasickness. He may be tired. He may be discouraged with something. The word of God does not say what happened to Mark. We do know that Mark comes back to Jerusalem. And Barnabas and Paul continues. We know they travel to Phrygia, Antioch, Iconium. What is this town? Lystra. Anybody knows about Lystra? What happened? Timothy. Brother Arun was sharing about Timothy. Timothy is right there, but he does not appear in the first mission. He's in the second mission, where we know about Timothy's mom and grandmom. They were a great man of faith. So Lystra is the place. In this particular place, Lystra, this is a place where you read Saul, who is Paul, heals a lame man. We do not have time to read. We could read about chapter 13, the whole mission. He heals the lame man. And people see the power of God. And they try to worship them as Jupiter and Mercury. And this is where Saul and Barnabas tore their clothes and say to give glory to God. And this is the same place later. Saul is stoned to death. He almost has been stoned to death. They almost stone him and leave him, thinking he's already dead. And we read in chapter 13 and 14, God heals him. And very next day, they go to Derby. Very next day, and he starts preaching the word of God. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 43, you see, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews' religious followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them. Some of your words in chapter 14, verse 1 says, and it came to pass in Iconium, Paul and Barnabas. Now who called Paul? It was Barnabas. It was Barnabas who became a bridge between the disciples. He went to Tarsus and got Saul. And Saul became Paul. And now Paul has been used mightily. One of the great characters of Barnabas is he did not like the highlight of being in a highlight. He did not mind if Paul was put in front. One of the great teachings of Jesus was, may we all put others first, yourself last. And that was one of my key learning which the Lord spoke to my heart, that Barnabas was such a great man that his enthusiasm did not change. Do you see anywhere Barnabas being discouraged in this chapter, chapter 13 or 14 you read? They continued. That was not the point. Sometimes in churches, we do not have a position. We don't like to be that enthusiastic. But for Barnabas, it was not the highlight. The whole vision was to serve the Lord. The whole vision was to take the gospel. He was indeed, I believe, would have rejoiced that Saul has become Paul. And this Paul is taking this gospel to the ends of the world. So we looking at briefly at first mission. It took about 3 years, 2.5 years with Saul and Barnabas serving the Lord. Many people were added. We just read thousands and thousands of people were added. And many churches grew. And every church they went, Saul and Barnabas, we read in Acts chapter 13 and 14, they prayed and they waited and they raised elders. And they fasted and prayed and raised elders, and the church were established. And the church grew and grew and grew. And here we are, after 2,000 years, it has reached to Australia, it has reached to India, to the ends of the world. There are few countries still the gospel has not yet reached. And Jesus has said, before the coming of the Lord, the gospel will reach to the ends of the world. And then the Lord shall come. And indeed, there are only few. And it is our time to reach the gospel. Now I want you to take back to a few things about Barnabas. We remember what Barnabas was a gracious man. He was a generous man. We also read the place we was in Antioch. When you are a generous and gracious and your leadership is also generous and gracious. Even the church at Antioch was generous and gracious. If you note, Paul and Barnabas when they saw there was a need in Jerusalem, what did they do? The Antioch sent gifts with Saul and Barnabas. Barnabas was a trusted man. He was given the offering to go and share to the people at Jerusalem. We also know he became a bridge between Saul and the disciples. We saw about his enthusiasm. It never changed, regardless whether he was in a highlight or not the highlight. Now I want you to look at Mark. What's happening to Mark? A young Mark. He has decided to come. He's a born-again believer. He has gone through all the way, half the way up to Perga, to modern Turkey. But he's decided to come back. One of the things Barnabas had was to encourage a weak or a new brother. What does Barnabas do? He goes back to Mark. I believe when he comes back to Antioch and he looks back to his nephew Mark, he has come to know that Mark has repented of what he has done. He's come to know Mark is a changed person. As we turn to Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, and recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, and confirming the churches. Now we read about what we just read is after about 1 year after coming back. It was Paul who wanted to go for the second mission. Barnabas is ready to go for the second mission. But what does Barnabas want to do? He wants to take Mark with him. But Paul does not want to take Mark. He's been discouraged. He says, sometimes in our lives we judge sometimes and put somebody in a box thinking that's it. They can't do it. But when you look at the word of God, when you look at our lives, and I look at some people's life, God can change anybody. God can transform Mark. Barnabas had this faith. God can transform Mark. God can restore Mark. One of the great things of a believer is a believer can always bounce back by the grace of God. And as we turn to, as we meditate on Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says like this, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, then one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone, which he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? But if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. How many times? Life sometimes can be disappointment, discouragement. And if you look back, when I look back my own life, there are many times how the Lord sends a brother or sister to encourage at that particular time. I remember even when Jerusha was born, and I remember the church praying for us and encouraging us. In the church taking, if one body hurts, everyone hurts. I still remember the burden the church took and prayed for Jerusha and to us. There are many times in your life when you look back, we thank God for the sweet fellowship in the Lord. Lord has given us brothers and sisters, the body of Christ. Two is better than one. Barnabas wanted Saul with him. When Jesus sent on mission, he already always sent at least two. If one falls, the other could raise. We could also see in husband and wife relationship. If one is weak, many times, I thank God for Deepika who strengthens me. It's always, God has made us relationship like this, not to work in one, to work together. That's the beauty of church, isn't it? And I thank God for the grace of God, even in this church, where the Lord has built each other with different gifts. Two is better than one. So Paul was encouraged with Barnabas' presence. We do not know whether Paul could have done great work, what vision Barnabas brought in life of Paul. But now Mark needed help. Barnabas has gone to Mark. And he's so determined, the word of God says, he is determined to take Mark with him. Mark is nobody then. John Mark, the Marcus, is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. If Barnabas did not encourage Mark, I do not know whether today we had the Gospel of Mark. Mark became a great instrument of God. He went with Peter later. He joined Peter in other missions. And in Paul, in the last book, in the last chapter, writes about Mark like this. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, chapter verse 11 says like this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. In one verse, Paul sums up. He has understood Mark has been given. By this time when we read this verse, Mark has already been given a second chance somewhere. Mark has been restored. Paul had fellowship with Mark and is saying, take Mark and bring with thee. He is profitable for me in ministry. Barnabas did the right thing at that time. We do not know. In this particular context, as we read about Saul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas being divided, what happened? Paul took Silas and went back to Tarsus. And then he went to his second mission. What happened to Barnabas? We do not have much about in the Bible, do we? He became a great man of God, an encouragement to Saul and to Mark. Mark wrote Gospel of John. Paul wrote many letters in the Word of God. We only have few chapters about Barnabas. But when you see about historical evidence, he went to Cyprus, back, his hometown. We do not know where else he went, but he established many assemblies or churches there. But one thing it writes, I was reading about a mission, and there was a story about Barnabas. About 64 AD, we read that there was a sorcerer who put a wrong allegation about crime about Barnabas. And he was put in the prison for a wrong allegation. And as he stayed in the prison, and there was a day of judgment to come in front of a judge, before the judgment came, the sorcerer stirred up all the non-believing Christians. And he went to jail. He pulled Barnabas with a rope. They took him out. And it says that he was burned. His death. They burned him to death. Barnabas gave his life. It's about 64 AD. We need about Mark. Mark was a young man. 15 years from now, that story, he writes the Gospel of Mark. About 65 to 70 AD, we have the young Mark who's been matured and he's been growing and he has written Gospel of Mark. He's with Peter and now we read the account. He is profitable for us in the ministry. Brothers and sisters, what can we take from the life of Barnabas? He was a great friend. He was a great fellow believer. If you want to be a friend, if you want to have a friend, it is like a friend, like to Barnabas, we should have. Or if you want to be a friend of someone, you should be like Barnabas, an encourager to a brother or a sister. Proverbs 18, book of Proverbs chapter 18, and verse 24 says, A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Barnabas was a great friend. We saw he did not mind of being in a highlight. We saw about his generosity, his graciousness. We saw about being a bridge among many believers. We saw his enthusiasm, his zeal, his passion to preach the word. We saw him, he did not worry about not being in highlight. We saw how Barnabas to Paul changed from Paul to Barnabas. We saw how he encouraged Mark. He encouraged Mark. And we saw these two great men. We do not know about... Jesus said one thing about John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was a great man, wasn't he? He was a great man. He was serving the Lord. Jesus said these words. There's no great man born for a mother or woman. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Just ponder at these words, you know. There are many people who are unsung heroes who are not in the word of God. He who is least, like John the Baptist, is greater than him. There are great rewards in heaven. And one of the words, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul encourages the church. Verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that way we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even also as ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know that which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but forever follow which is good, but both among yourself and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Verse 11, comfort yourself and to edify one another. One of the callings the Lord has given us here in to build one another up, to encourage one another up, to be Barnabas to one another. Then it's encouragement to each other. Verse 14 says, you know, brother, warn them unruly, lazy, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient with all. He who is strong will encourage a weak brother or sister. Encourage each other, be patient, and be Barnabas. May the Lord help us that we may be Barnabas to each other. May we be like a friend as Barnabas was. And praise God for the sweet fellowship. Even here, I found many Barnabas. And thank God for the Barnabas in our lives. And as we close, maybe take an encouragement of this great character. And maybe be an encouragement. May the Lord bless. Let us pray. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for giving us this precious word. Thank you for Barnabas, Lord. Thank you for this great character. And thank you for reminding us, pray, Lord, that we may be an encouragement to each other. We pray, Lord, if there is any brother or sister who is weak, that you may strengthen them. And you are our strength, O Lord. And pray, Lord, as a sweet fellowship in the Lord, that we may be Barnabas to many people and lead a life of encouragement and supporting the weak and being a light to many. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.